The first 10 commandments. This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the first 10 commandments. Instant illumination. The first 10 commandments were presented to the Israelites by Moses on Mount Sinai. Moses went up the mountain and spoke to the presence of God within him, and the presence of God within him revealed its great joy and great delight in the people of Israel who were being taken to the Promised Land. And as these people were being taken to the Promised Land, Moses wanted to tell them how pleased God was with them, because Moses was very pleased with these people that he had taken out of bondage in Egypt and had brought across the many months, the many years, to the Promised Land. They had not yet arrived, but they were well on the way. And he created the Ten Commandments. Now, God spoke to him, and Moses brought forth the Ten Commandments. How he pounded them out or chiseled them out on the tablets of stone is immaterial, because if he can be so great a master, a great teacher, a great leader as he was, to lead all of the people out of Egypt in such a miraculous way, putting a few words on a couple of stone tablets was certainly no difficulty for him. The commandment means the power to take dominion. And Moses wanted to give the people the recognition of the power to take dominion. And as Moses was giving these people the power to take dominion, he spelled it out in 10 beautiful phrases. And these are the first 10 commandments that Moses brought down the mountain to give to the Israelites. And the 10 commandments said, and I quote in this way, number 1, I am God, there is only one. I am God, there is only one. I created everything that is created. Number 2, I created everything that is created. Commandment 3, everything I created is good. Commandment 4, I created man to be me, and I like me. Commandment 5, all that I am, man is, in an eternally perfect body. Commandment 5, all that I am, man is, in an eternally perfect body. Commandment 6, I give man freedom of choice. Commandment 7, I create man to be true to himself and have fun being himself. Commandment 8, man lives within the law of cause and effect. Commandment 9, since I am man, man is God and acts as God in everything he does. And Commandment 10, I am omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, and so is all of mankind. Now, in giving these commandments to the Israelites, in giving these commandments to the chosen people that Moses had brought out of Egypt, God was expressing itself through Moses as the most wonderful, beautiful being that anyone could ever imagine. God expressed itself as the oneness that it is with each of its creation, and it's one with and as and in each of its creation, not separate from. And this was a commandment that Moses wanted to get across to the people, because he wanted to teach them that one day soon they were going to be on their own, and they would not have a Moses to guide them and take them away to do the things that they had to do, that they would have to stand on their own 2 feet. And so he told them in the first commandment, I am one God, there is only one. And he wanted to tell the people this in a powerful way. And in the second commandment, he wanted the people to know that I, God, created everything that is. And the third commandment, and everything I created is good. And in the fourth commandment, I create man to be me and I like me. God wanted man to know that God liked itself and God liked all of its creation, and man was and is one of the creation of God. Commandment 5, all that I am, man is, in an eternally perfect body. God wanted man to know that within itself was the ability to be as perfect as it ever could be, and nothing from the outside need be added to the eternally perfect body that man is and always will be. And Commandment 6, I give man freedom of choice. As man has the ability to either follow the divine prerogative from within or to follow something else, follow what something else is going on in this world that it also is creating. And God gives man the freedom of choice to do that without feeling terrible about itself for not following the inner commandment. It would have been nice to have God make us feel terrible not following the inner commandment, but the divine in us doesn't do things like that. It doesn't manipulate us, and it doesn't control us. It doesn't make us feel bad when we're not doing the right thing. Our conscience, which is our own personal self, it makes us feel bad when we're not doing the right thing. But God, the divine, our reality, never. Commandment 8, or Commandment 7, I create man to be true to himself and have fun being himself. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I create man to be true to himself and to have fun being himself. What a great commandment. What a great reference to what life is all about, being ourselves and having fun. And Commandment 8, man lives within the law of cause and effect. As a human being, man puts causes in motion for itself to guide its life, direct its life, to guide its world and direct its world, to guide itself and direct itself. And these are causes. These are the law of cause and effect. And for every cause put in motion, an effect follows. And so long as man remains true to himself and has fun being himself, he will always have a joyous experience with the law of cause and effect. However, if man ever lies to himself, and if he ever goes against whatever his inner nature tells him to do, then he will feel the results of that, because he'll be violating the law of cause and effect, which is him, his inner self. And Commandment 9, since I am man, man is God and acts as God in everything he does. Since I am man, man is God and acts as God in everything he does. Since I am man, man is God and acts as God in everything he does. Rather self-explanatory. And the final commandment that Moses and God as a couplet gave to the first people that were taken out of Israel going to the promised land, he said of himself, I am omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. Oh boy, mighty powerful terms. And then he put in the real zinger, and so are you, and so is all of mankind. You see, when we follow these first 10 commandments that were given to us, our world is a world of yes, 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 go, 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 good, 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 good. But then Moses came down off the mountain, and he saw his people acting strangely. He had been gone for a month or more, and his people were kind of thinking perhaps he wasn't going to come back because he was an old man and he might not make it down from the mountain. And so they went to his brother Aaron, and they said, Aaron, we want to have something to worship. Moses is not with us right now. And Moses would have been the first to say, don't worship me. But Moses wasn't there. So they said to Aaron, we want to take all of our gold, all of our jewels, and we want to melt them down into a golden calf. And we can animalism worship this golden calf, which we have done in the past and which we would like to do now. And Aaron said, but there is only one God, and that God is you, and that God is all there is. Why do you want to worship this golden calf? We need a physical outer object to worship because we feel so empty, so alone. We do not have our leader Moses with us now, and who knows, he may not get back. And Aaron, too, was worried about his brother. He had let his brother go up the mountain by himself. And his brother was the older boy, and he stayed at home to watch the flock. And he thought, well, I guess if Moses isn't coming back and the people need something to worship, we can worship the one golden cow, you know, the one golden object, calf. And so Aaron allowed them to melt their jewelry and to create a golden calf. And they put this golden calf, you can be sure it wasn't very big, they didn't have that much gold with them, and they put this golden calf up on an altar, and they worshipped it. And when Moses saw this, he was beside himself. He said, what are you doing? What is this all about? And they said, Moses, we thought perhaps you weren't coming back, and we had to have something to worship. We missed you. Me? You shouldn't have worshipped me, and you should certainly not worship a golden calf. This is something outside of ourselves. Worship the divine within you. And Moses became angrier by the moment. He lost his cool. And he took these first 10 commandments that were so beautifully written and so nobly done, and he smashed them on the rocks, and he said, I will go and talk to God again and see what we shall see. And he went up the mountain with anger in his heart, with vengeance in his heart. How shall he tell these people of Israel that they must live their lives? And so he got the second 10 commandments that everyone knows very well. And the second 10 commandments were just filled with thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And he came down the mountain, and he read the second 10 commandments to the people, who stood in awe of him. He had smashed their golden calf. And he spoke to them in no uncertain terms, the new 10 commandments. And he said, follow these, or ye shall perish. And they believed him. And they went on into the promised land. And there in Jericho, they found the land that was supposed to be theirs. But there was another people living there. And Moses told his people, go and chase the people out of there. Kill those who will not leave. That is your town, your home, your land. That is the promised land. And I promised it to you, and it's yours. And so they went with Joshua to fight the battle of Jericho. And they marched around Jericho, and they sang, and they thumped. And pretty soon, the walls came tumbling down. And they thought, surely this was a mark of God, that it was right for them to take over this land. And that was the beginning of the Hebrew nation as it started out in Israel so many years ago. And today, the battle goes on because everybody still wants their land because it's not their land. Everybody still wants to take it away from them because they have never taken it with love in their heart. They have taken it with vengeance of a Moses, who said, this is your land of milk and honey. And very few could see it as a land of milk and honey. This is not to say the Israelites are bad or good. All humanity is going through this same turmoil as it goes into its experience of life. And wherever we take something from another, we can be sure that it will backfire all the years of our life. And we will never live enough years in our life to not be bothered by it until we not forgive, but until we turn our attention totally to love within. And when we turn our attention totally to love within ourselves, then all the outer conflict will cease. And we will live in a world of unconditional love and a world that now is ready for us to claim that it is so. And It has always been so. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.